Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture for tonight is going to start in the book of Philippians, New Testament, Philippians. And we're going to go to the second chapter and start at verse 1 and go through 11. Amen? So again, let's go to the New Testament. And if you find Ephesians, Philippians is the neighbor on the right. Amen? Second chapter, verse 1, and it reads, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Who, then, in very nature, God did not consider equality. And we read, one moment. All right, let's continue on again. Let's go back to verse 4 just one more time, though, before we go through 6. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Hallelujah. And we'll continue on now with our verse 6. Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Hallelujah. And then formed in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death. Even death on a cross. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen, amen, amen. I just really love that scripture. I just love reading through that. It just, I get caught up every time. Praise be the name of the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord. It just brings out a lot of things about us. We as Christians, as we're studying throughout our Bible study, we're wanting to become stronger and closer to God. We're wanting to look more as an example of Jesus Christ and the life that he lived here as an example for us to follow. We're wanting to lead into that pathway. And sometimes we was just talking about criticism, unwise reactions to criticisms we spoke of on our last broadcast, and just participating in great works through our prayers and, you know, when we come to God with those big requests. Just participating. What are those things that we should be doing in our prayers? Amen. We say it and we bring it to him, and then we should be walking it and going in the direction of those things that we're praying for. And then again, we get criticized by even Christians criticize each other. It's going to be, you know, it's all kind of this negative criticism, it's positive criticism, and, you know, it's unwise reaction. Sometimes we just react unwisely. And so it takes us into another place. It doesn't show Christ's humbleness, how the way that he humbled himself. We have to learn to do that. So we'll pick up tonight as we're talking about wise reactions to criticism and then the requirements of our godly influence. Those things are very important to us because we want to shine as stars. We want to grow. We want to become better in our everyday walks, right? Amen. You know, how come we still sometimes that as we face these upsetting comments of other people, we sometimes don't know the right way to react to some of them. We're going to just touch base on a little of those as we also just talk about, you know, have you ever wondered what God's human history textbook might look like? Amen? Just bow our heads in prayer and invite the Holy Spirit that's already with us, he's already here amongst us, you know? So we just want him to take control of the realm. We just want to introduce the Holy Spirit to let him do his word in us the way he would see that tonight. Amen? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. As we look around the world today, it's just so much to be thankful for. Father, we're just so thankful for the protection you put around us, hedges around us, dear Father, all around our finances, our mental stability, and dear Father, our jobs, just our families near and far, all around the world, all around creation. I just thank you for watching the soldiers as they're in battles right now. I thank you for watching over homes that are just in battles right now, dear Father, and just giving someone a night of comfort that's just been in pain for, I feel, a long time. And I thank you that tonight, they're going to be able to rest well. I just thank you, Lord, for being a comfort to the ones that are grieving right now, dear Father, and the ones who are lost and just caught up in depression right now, and caught up in anger right now, just caught up in the world issues right now that just have them feeling isolated, just feeling like they're nobody, dear Father. We ask you, Father, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that you accept our intercession for them right now and just send your joy their way. Send your tenderness their way. Send your compassion their way. We pray in their behalf right now, dear Father. For the same love that you are, that they may feel your love. One spirit to one spirit. And now, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and take the podium in our life. Come and do what it is that you have for us tonight. Let us receive it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen, sisters and brothers. Any special prayer requests that you may have, send them to me. You can reach me at walkwithme.com. I do thank you so much. I had a very special email from a listener who actually was inviting me into their home. I wish I was closer and in the area that you live. I'm able to take you up on that. I thank you so much. She talked about the beautiful way of Christmas, the way that family just gets together, and they always invite someone into the family gathering every year. And I just thank you. That was just an honor that I would be invited. And you know what? Even though I may not be able to take you up on that this year, you know, we never know what the future holds. So I may be at that table one year before you know it. So again, I really do appreciate the invitation from you and your lovely family. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So again, continue to just send the email to walkwithmegod@aol.com. And, of course, yes, the answer is yes, that can we talk on a personal basis? We sure can. If you would like to include your phone number in the email, if you would like to talk to me on a one-on-one basis, most definitely so. We can definitely do something. And no, I do not share your information with anyone else. Just trying to answer quickly here some of the questions that was in the emails recently. No, I do not share your information with anyone else. There are times, however, as far as prayer requests. Prayer requests, I am a participant of a lot of different organizations, and Women Empower is one of those organizations. And so we do pray for different people 3 times a day, and sometimes ministers will share a prayer need with someone, and we don't necessarily go into who you are, but what your prayer requests are. And I may share that with someone because I've spoken many times about surrounding prayer. I'm a believer, and I just feel in my spirit that it's important that wherever you're at, I like to surround you with prayer. So if you're in Texas, I like to get people around your city, and then I like to get people around the states that is surrounding and touching Texas. I just want you to be covered in prayer as much as possible. And then last but not least, how I've done a lot of traveling this year. No, I have not did a lot of traveling this year. Do my travel with the word? Yes, most definitely so. And contact information on how you can get me to come and speak at any thing that you have going on. You can just send me the information through an email, and either me or someone with the ministry will get back with you about the dates and times and different things so we can speak that over if you would like me to come and speak at one of your conventions or whatever that you're holding. So, yes, I do, most definitely do. I love meeting people, being in the presence of people, and I love the Word and watching the Word work in people's lives, and where two or three gather together, He's there with us. And so, you know, I just love having a good time in the Lord. So I hope I was able to answer some of the questions. And if I did not get to yours tonight, don't worry. I have already answered you back via email. And, you know, I even may respond on the air. Okay? Well, God bless each and every one of you. God bless everyone. There is Steve Rock that may be listening in tonight also. God bless you. And let's just dive right into the Word and just pick up again about how will you face the upsetting comments of other people. People can say some upsetting things. And sometimes it's the way that they say it to be upsetting. Sometimes it's the way that we receive it can be upsetting. And I'm a witness to both of those, and I'm sure you are too. I think have been said to be in a negative way because for different reasons. It could be because it's something that I'm putting off. It's my error around me that makes them feel like they have to speak to me in a certain way because they know I'm going to get nasty with them or I'm going to respond in a negative way. So they just come out negative to me first. And so it could be that. It could be that they're just upset at me about something that I am or am not aware of. That could be one of the reasons, too, that maybe someone would come off and say something to you in a negative criticism way, in a negative comment. But it could also be, you know, just that they don't know how to say it. They got something to say, and they don't know how to say it. And sometimes, you know, as people say, the best way to say it, just say it. You know, just get it out there. Just say it. So some people don't understand how to say it, and they're trying to say this to you, so they just get it out there, and they just say it. And so when it comes out, sometimes it may not come out in a way that you would prefer to receive it, to not have your feelings hurt or for me not to have my feelings hurt. And so we have to kind of juggle those things around and see. So tonight the question is, what is the right response to criticism? What is the right response to criticism? Just studying on some of the items and looking back on it first, I think when criticism arises, we must all maintain a quiet spirit. And that's difficult because when criticism arises, usually that's the last thing that we are looking for is a quiet spirit. And I'm learning tonight, that's what I want us to start. We've got to talk to ourselves right now. Tell yourself, I'm going to remain quiet through criticism. So you know when you were coming indoors and outdoors and your parents used to teach you about your indoor voice and your outdoor voice, and you picked that up and you were able to use indoor, outdoor, versus go between the two. Well, this is the same here. Your spirit should not always be jumping in and excited and upset about something. You do have a time that your spirit, you need to make sure that you quieten your spirit. And so when criticism arises, that's one of the times I want to make sure that we understand that we need to maintain a quiet spirit. No, I'm not saying don't let someone just roll over you or you be the doormat. Remember, this battle's not yours. You know, you have to really get that spirit under your feet. Because as long as you're thinking that you try to, you got to be the defensive one to always fight your own battles, you're way away from the game. It's time to mature and grow up. Let's go to another level. So do not become defensive. Do not get loud on the person. And then restrain any outburst. Now, I mean, though it may feel right at the moment to just
outburst something or whatever you first thought, your first reaction to what they said. But I'm asking you something different. Tonight, as your minister, Minister Vine, I'm asking you in the Holy Spirit, through prayer, that you quiet your spirit. You quiet your spirit by not becoming automatically defensive, not getting loud, and that you restrain any outburst, regardless of how it may feel at that moment. You know, some people will use the excuse that I just have a short fuse, or I'm just not going to let nobody talk to me that way. I don't understand what you mean. You're not going to let them talk to you that way. You do not have any control on what people say to you or how they say it. You can curse them out. You can physically hit them and get them in jail. Whatever it is that you want to do, it does not mean that that person or another person will not come to you with that same reaction again. So your negative reaction, your outburst, does not stop their feelings the way they feel, and it doesn't stop you from getting into more trouble. You know, if it's something on your end that you needed to look at, it's not going to help you by covering it up with your outburst, covering it up with your negative cursing or of getting physical with someone, of threatening someone. It's not helping you in any way, and it does not change their opinion or change their percentage to you again. So, the excuses that I just have a short fuse or that God just made me this way, this is just how God made me, ladies and gents, that is a poor argument. I bring to you right now, that's a poor argument. See, we can't blame the Lord when we fail to control our own bad temper. We're always looking to blame the Lord for something. That's just the way God made me. I'm 300 pounds because this is just the way God made me. We cannot blame the Lord because we cannot control our diet. We cannot control our bad tempers. But we cannot blame the Lord for those things. When we need to be in full control of those things through Christ, and remember the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Let's take all the help we can get. Jesus left an example for us, and the Holy Spirit is here to help us along and intercede for us. So when we say those negative things, I just have a short fuse and the other ones we mentioned, such responses are unhelpful. They're unhealthy to you. And it's just plain unacceptable. We as Christians need to move to another level. It's just unacceptable. And then second, we should not attempt to defend ourselves immediately. It's that immediate reaction that can get us into trouble. Because you know, pride, not genuinely honesty and reflection, pride usually motivates this response to just defend ourselves immediately. So whenever possible, remember, it's wise to allow some time. Sometimes that initial shock and the irritation to just pass before offering any defense or any theory. Just allow some time to that. Allow some time for the shock of what's been said to you to just pass. Just the irritation of how what's been said to you. Just allow the time for that to pass, for that to just settle in your spirit for a minute. Before you start to offer any kind of defense or any kind of theory. And, you know, sometimes we just immediately forget about what it is that's been said to us. And our defense, we lash out by just throwing mud back at you. Oh, so you want to tell me this? Well, let me tell you something. Amen? Been in that situation? I've heard about that situation. So we immediately start throwing mud back at someone else just to get the thing off of us. We're trying to flip it back over. But sometimes when criticism is being sent to you, I want us to grow up as mature Christians and learn how to deal with criticism. Okay? Thirdly, now this is a tough one. This is a tough one. But we must ask the Holy Spirit to show us if the problem is truly our fault. I know that's a tough one because, but we have to truly check it out. Ask the Holy Spirit. It's not always wise for us to look at us and say, oh, no, I know it's not. Vaughn, is it your fault? No, of course it's not your fault. Because that's probably the answer you may get, right? Or, but we truly need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us if the problem is our fault. And then, are the accusations that they're saying, Holy Spirit, is that really true? Am I exhibiting this behavior? See, is it possible that a loving friend was led by God to reveal something unpleasant about us? I know we do not like to think that we're ever wrong. No one ever wants to think that they're ever wrong. And have you ever been in a situation, and I'm sure that you have, that it's been a confrontation between someone and you're involved in it, and you just walk away just feeling they are so wrong. I've had them say that to me. Are you hear people say, well, let me tell you something. Well, that's a negative phrase. Anytime you start out talking to someone by telling them, you know, let me just tell you something. Hold on for a minute. Let me tell you something. We already know that nothing we said has been received. Now you're just getting ready to tell me your theory of me. Now you're getting ready to be defensive. We need to whoop-ah, breathe, relax, get over the initial reaction of it. No outbursts, just quiet your spirit. And then, well, you know what? I didn't realize that. That's not where I'm coming, trying to come from. But I will ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to me. I'll see what the Holy Spirit has to say about it. What if we just walk away at that moment and just went on about our business? It doesn't tear it, allow us to tear it out in your spirit. But in your quiet time, bring it up before the Holy Spirit. And then ask the Holy Spirit to show you, is it your fault? Are the accusations true? Because flesh, again, does not like to be wrong. We don't like to think that we're ever wrong. However, we know that as sinful men and women, we cannot be right all of the time. We cannot be right all of the time. You may even be partially right, but that means you're still partially wrong. Amen? So for this reason, there's always a chance, that a conflict in our life may actually be our fault. We really have to look at that. So for this reason, what I'm saying is that you, that couple who's heading for divorce right now, and you say, it is just him, it is just him, it is just him. Wow, I don't understand why you don't understand this. It's seriously means that you have not taken any look at yourself, or you have not asked the Holy Spirit to reveal your fault in the situation. I'm a witness. When you stop and look at your fault in a situation, you will be shocked at what you see. Amen? So again, for this reason, there's always a chance that a conflict in our lives may actually be our fault. So when people care enough to confront you in a way, we should be gracious about receiving and considering their perspective. Even if it's fault to us the wrong way, forget about how it got to us on a plane, train, a car, or boat, forget about how it was delivered to us, the delivery of it, and just try to get what it was that was said and then take that before the Holy Spirit. Ask God to reveal that, your part in that. Okay? The delivery may not be the correct way, but that's just another way. We gave examples of why sometimes the delivery is there. Sometimes they just don't know how to say it. Sometimes it's just a passage that the Holy the enemy knows that God is using someone to say something to you, to reveal something in you. Did you probably ask him for a show me, God? Anything that's not of you, I want it removed. And then when God shows it to us, we just get all set, upset and been out of shape. And the enemy knows that God is going to use Sue or James or, you know, whoever to come and say these things to you. So he's just trying to give it a negative little touch before it leaves out of there, you know? Add a little sprinkle of negatives to it, a little nastiness to it. But it's up to us in the way that we receive it. We want to make sure we receive the message and not the delivery. Amen? Amen. So, you know, the Lord often speaks to us, again, through other people. And if he's trying to communicate something to you through a brother or through a sister in Christ, I challenge you to challenge yourself to just be open to his message. Open to his message. Even if it hurts. Even if it hurts. Because we do have requirements of godly influence. And have you ever just wondered what God's human history textbook might look like? Who would appear on its pages as the principal movers and shakers of this world event? You know, who you think would, may not be the people that would be in the top solutions. Well, it may be you. If you're listening to some of the criticism and taking the positive out of it, looking at the things that you were doing that was negative and making a change, allowing God to change those negatives into positive so you can become the shakers and the movers in your world, in the entire world, to make a difference. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:27-28 provides a clue when it tells us that the Lord has chosen the weak of the world to shame the strong and wise. See, the principle is woven throughout the fabrics of biblical history. Let's just take a little example. I was looking, thinking about a prostitute named Rahab. Rahab makes a right choice and becomes the ancestor of the Messiah. Rahab. Then we look at Ruth. A widow named Ruth chooses the desire of Israel and becomes the great-grandmother of King David. The Lord has chosen the weak and the little foolish things of the world to shame the strong and wise. You say, well, you know, I have it all. I don't need God. I don't need anything. Look at the infirm time. She poured out her soul to God, and what? She becomes the mother of Samuel, the prophet. She was weak. It was foolish. People laughed at her. She was born because she was infertile. But she poured out all that she had, all of her concerns, all of the negative things that they were saying to her. Hallelujah. Ruth, do you know how the talk of the town has to be? You know, she's poor and what's going on and all of the different things. But she still had to take all of that was said to her and bring it before the Holy Spirit for him to clean it up and show her wrongness and get right on the right road. But again, the prostitute Rahab. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean anything because of what you've been through. You have to keep going. We even look at the man called Abram. Abram responds to God. He leaves his relatives behind, and he becomes the father of you and I, the father of all who believe. Let's go one month further. A woman named Mary, she pours excessive perfume on Jesus' feet. And she gains for herself an eternal monument in the stream of history. Hallelujah. Who are the truly influential people on this earth? I mean, don't be deceived by outward appearances. We spoke about that on another broadcast. So don't be deceived by outward appearances, but who are truly the influential people of this earth? The ones with impact and those who leave all to follow Jesus? That should be the ones with the influence, you and I. who are delivering the word of God, who are living godly life, the men and women who have proven themselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and sometimes perverse generation. Even amongst those who that appear as light in the world. And we find out that they're falsehood. But you and I who are really shining our light, letting our light shine, we are the influence of the whole nation. And we need to be more out there. We need to be more. There should be more people on Block Talk. There should be more people on the radio, out in the streets and byways. We are the ones who are going to influence the world. Are we going to be criticized? Yes. But we've talked about what we're going to do. Exchange that criticism. Let God dust it off, show you what is in there that is really true of those accusations. How you can be healed from it. How he can take that and shake it off and make it that weakness into a strength. And we keep on shining our light. We don't go into this big outburst. We don't start doing all of the things that, you know, the enemy is doing. But we quiet our spirit. And you shine your light. And you may not think that your light is very bright by this world's standards. But the Lord calls you a luminary. You can agree with him and keep on shining. This world's standards, it's a little different. But we have to just continue to just stand over God's word. Amen? You know, the United States Marine Corps is always on the lookout for what they call what? A few good men. The eyes of the Lord is likewise in the earth in order to find godly men and women just like you and I. Godly men and women who will step forward and use their influence to exalt righteousness in the land. Even though you're going to be criticized, even though different groups are going to get together and band against you because you're speaking for righteousness, but you're still going to be doing what? Speaking for righteousness, standing for God. That is what we see in Ezekiel 22 when God says, I search for a man amongst them who will build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it. You see, a gap, G-A-P, in this sense is some place where error or falsehood has crept in, allowing satanic confusion and inviting the judgment of God. You know, that's what's going on in the world today, right? That gap, falsehood has just crept in. And all kinds of satanic confusion, because that's the only thing Satan brings is confusion. And always inviting someone to judge God. Well, what about this about God? That satanic confusion through those gaps. Sometimes these gaps are so serious that they impure the entire nation and carry them to the brink of destruction. They destroy areas, entire nation. You see, Israel was facing such a time following the Exodus. But the word of God records this remarkable statement. Hallelujah. It says, therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses chosen one stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying him. God always has a way of escape. God always has a way of escape. He has something for you to do that it may be the change of this world. He has something that you should be saying that really could make the difference in this world. You are the Moses of this world. We are the Moses of this world. Hallelujah. So in all likelihood, not too many of us would ever be called upon to save a nation. Okay? Like Moses was, to save a nation. But every little bitty thing that you are done, whatever it is that he's asking of you, all of those little puzzles, pieces of a puzzle come together, and that's how we're saving the nation. But we cannot... What we can do, though, we can nonetheless build up all walls of protection around our families.
We can build up walls of protection around our churches by drawing wisdom from the whole counsel of God. We can build up walls of protection around our hearts by just studying the Word of God, by getting our strength from the Word of God. And we can resist the devil daily. We can't just forget about that we're in a battle here. We can't just forget about the war zone that we're in. We can resist the Word of God. We can resist the devil's daily scrutiny against us with the Word of God, I should say. And, of course, we can continually to refuse any perversions of this present age, this present world. And even though you know that it's wrong and they're telling you it was wrong back then, but it's right now, then the Bible doesn't change. The Word of God doesn't change, ladies and gentlemen. We can still stand against it. We can still daily stand against it. We can fight against it. We can refuse to bow down to the different perversions of the world. As I close tonight, I just remind you that God has called his children into his service, and he will equip them in righteousness. You're never in a battle by yourself. You see, in Moses' days, one man made all the difference. One man made all the difference. And when he needed more, God sent more. When he needed a speaker, God sent his brother Aaron. When he needed, what he needed was always there. When he needed a rod, it was there. When they needed water, when they needed manna, whatever he needed because he was obeying the following of God sending him, it was there. If we just quiet our spirit, God will show us where it is that he wants us to go. He will show us what it is that he wants us to say, who we need to speak with. He will bring those into your life for the season that is needed for where it is, wherever it is that you're going to go. So why not be the one who makes a difference today? You know, we may have endured terrible things in our lives, and we may have been deeply wounded in the process. But there is hope. We can harness our emotions by taking control of this powerful force within us. Victory is definitely possible. Genuine healing can occur if we're willing to just allow the Father to set us free from all the things that are separating us from his freedom. You know, we don't have to go through suffering alone because of we've been criticized, and now we've just taken all of that negative criticism and built it up in our spirits, and now we've got anger on top of frustration and now depression and all of that. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you if the point is yours, if any of the accusations is true. And then how do you deal with it? Help me get over it, dear Father. He doesn't want you just hanging out there, just out there. He has a plan for you. But we're going to go and look Father tomorrow just in suffering alone. You know, when we have personal crisis and all kinds of different things happen in our lives, and sometimes we are in a place that we've just been criticized all our lives. We've just been told negative things about us all of our lives, and we have stored it up. Okay, you say, now I am going to go before the Holy Spirit, and I am going to ask him to reveal in me anything that I need to change or work on. But I'm so depressed now, I've got to break through some layers. I invite you to reach out to me. You can reach me at walkwithmeGod@AOL.com. Let's just pray together. Amen? Amen. Well, as we come to the close of another night, I just want you to make sure that you're certain that as you lay your head down tonight, as you close your eyes tonight, if you should die, are you for sure that you would spend eternity with God? You know what? You don't even have to lay your head down tonight. You can just be walking along and just fall dead. You can be driving in your automobile and fall dead. Because when the Holy Spirit, when God calls your name and said,
come home, you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. And you just go. You have to surrender. You're in spirit. God is spirit. Your spirit just says, hey, I'm going home. I surrender. Regardless of what your limbs say, your feet may be still trying to hold you up. But your spirit leaves. And all your skeletal body just collapses. It's just there. Just bones, just skin, just flesh, just blood. It can't do anything. Because the spirit has returned unto the Father. Now, where are you going to be? It's going to be eternity. Over on this side, we just had a little time to live and spend and just try to get it right. But where are you going to spend your eternity at? If you're not for sure that you would spend your eternity in the home that God has went ahead to prepare for you, why don't you just take the time right now and invite the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you? He's knocking at your heart's door. So the knob is on the inside. He's not going to push his way in or force his way upon you. Only you can open that door and invite Christ in your heart. Well, here's your time right now. Just repeat these words after me. It's very simple. God, I believe that you are my Heavenly Father. I believe that you gave us your only begotten Son. I believe that he gave his life for my sins. I want to thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I invite you to come live inside of me and be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. If you just pray that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, and I'd like to talk to you about that. Just explain a little bit what that means. So you can reach me again at walkwithmegod@aol.com. I am Minister Von Dumas, and I broadcast live from San Antonio, Texas. But I do travel. Invite me. I will definitely try to come. God bless you. God keep you. The whole heavens is excited about you. God loves you. So I ask you tonight, as you go into your next day, why not be the one who makes a difference today? Do something to make a difference today. You have a happy Sunday. And we'll talk tomorrow, okay? All right, God bless you. Good night.